This is Ron Moss Ministries. I wanted to talk today, or this evening, about a phone call I got this morning from someone who works in our local hospital system here in Anderson. And he was somewhat frustrated or somewhat concerned or all the above, seeing how the continued cases of people coming into the hospital with COVID 19, most who are African-American. We talked about the importance of wearing a mask. We talked about the importance of washing your hands. And this information has been going out at least for the last couple of months or the last month and a half. And it would appear that still people are not really taking this seriously. Here locally, you know, we have had several people who have died from COVID 19, and still it would appear that there is no wake up or no wake up call that comes where, you know, when you travel, and I do a lot of traveling throughout the day, and I see a lot of people not wearing masks. I was on my way to Greenville, to Spartanburg today, and the jockey lot was open. And I couldn't find anybody, or I didn't see anybody passing by with a mask on. It just seemed like a normal day. I was on the track, Amet track, yesterday, and no one on the track had on a mask. As I go into, you know, I'm a QT person, so I get my gas from QT. And as I went to QT on yesterday and today in Anderson and then in Spartanburg to get some gas, I noticed that 90% of the customers that went into QT didn't have a mask on, no rubber gloves, nothing. And I thought, I went back to the conversation that this brother who works in the hospital system told me, and he said something very interesting to me. He said, you know, it's almost as though people still don't believe that this is real, even as the television and the local television stations, the national television stations are putting this information out. I know we heard most cases that came out of New York City, but it is locally now in South Carolina. We have a large number of cases right here locally. And it would appear we've just had a manufacturing plant or a plant that just recently closed down because an employee died. And then they had to close the plant down to re-sanitize the plant to make sure the plant is clean. In doing that, you're still taking a chance of bringing folk back to the job because you can clean a plant up and you can get rid of all the viruses or whatever that's on the chairs and tables and bathrooms. But there's an airborne problem with this. And if folk have got it, if you have folk who are carrying it, folk can be carriers. And so if you're carrying this, if you might not have it, but be a carrier. Your test results might come back negative, but you're a carrier. And so, in a sense, we don't have access to testing at this moment. The smart thing to do, there's two things or three things. One is, if you don't have to leave home, as boring as it may be, as challenging as it may be, if you're used to go, I know because I'm used to that. Create things to do. Do things that you've never done at home. Read a book. Read the Bible. Read a book. Write a book. Write your story. You know, do some constructive things while you're at home. If you're used to watching TV before the pandemic, you're going to get tired of watching TV through the pandemic. So think of other things that you can do. Do some things that you never did. Reinvent yourself. So when we come out of this pandemic, not only are you better, but you're going to be smarter. You're going to be more aware of the abilities and capabilities that you have. But what I really want to touch on, and I think it's important to understand this, is particularly for parents. I was at a restaurant today, had to stop by a restaurant and get some food for my daughter and niece. And my daughter had asked for, I forgot what it's called, a fajita, a chicken fajita. And of course, I pull into the Mexican restaurant in Anderson, and I immediately see people going in and out of the restaurant, no mask, no gloves, no anything. I thought about the young people who follow their adults, their parents. They're the example, so they're supposed to. And if you are a bad example, and your child is depending on you to be a good example, you know, you really got to check yourself. For some reason, I'm trying to understand the logic of why we won't take this seriously. Do someone in your family have to die? Do someone in your family have to get sick? Whether you believe it's a conspiracy theory or whatever you choose to believe, how it got here, sisters and brothers, it's here. And the only information that we have at this point, at this moment, is that you can get it in large crowds. You can get it from being too social, closely sociable with people. And obviously it's airborne. And once it get into your sinuses, into your breathing system, that's where the trouble starts. And therein lies why wearing the mask becomes vital and important. You want to have gloves on, you want to have hand sanitizer, because of the fact it's able to live on surfaces and other things for X amount of time. And therein lies, because we touch a lot of stuff. You know, think about it. Take a minute and think about where your hand touches. Doorknobs, tables, plates, chairs, remote controls. You just think about all the stuff that your hands are touching all throughout the day, and how vital it is with this virus that you keep some hand sanitizer, if you can, in your pocket, and consistently and touch the gas station. You know, the people were talking about the pumping gas and all of that. Man, your hand touches a whole lot of other stuff. And how many of us might have something in our mouth and we take our fingernail and put it in our mouth, and you've got the virus on your hand, and now it's found a way in. And now you've got another problem. And you know, I talked to somebody today, and actually I got to tell you this. I had went on a job interview. You know, my businesses have shut down for now, and so I'm somewhat, you know, out of work, and I'm trying to reinvent myself, and so I'm trying to put some information out to churches that are closed right now to go in and do what I call a virus clean. Come in and sanitize the church before whenever that time comes for them to go back, they'll go back to a clean and sanitized church. So I'm just kind of promoting that and just trying to reinvent myself and do some other things. But I had looked at getting a full-time job, actually had applied for it, had found one in Clinton. I won't say the name. I'll let you figure it out. It was two-day on, two-day off, that type of work schedule, 7 to 7, 12-hour shifts. Basically, all my information passed. Salaries were going to be decent. And again, it was going to allow me to continue to have my business once we get going again, to keep my janitorial business going at night. I got to the job site, and one of the things I noticed right away as I walked in was that the people at the counter, who I had to ask for information, didn't have on a mask. Now, I've got mine on. The people who I had to go to, the staffing agency, which were three people in there, none of them had on a mask. I then had to go into another room where they was having orientation, and it was seven people in there, and none of them had on a mask. And so finally, I asked a question. I went back and asked the staffing agency that the people on the floor, were they required to wear a mask? And I was told, no, but you can. I gave the individual my clipboard of information back, And I told them that I could not, in good faith, take this job because production is now more important than people. And to me, they had not accepted the fact that this virus is serious. So if you have people who are in leadership positions who are not taking this seriously, it's going to trickle down to other people not taking this seriously. Folks, I'm going to say it again. People are dying from COVID-19. Some folks are in the hospitals for 2 weeks to 3 weeks to 4 weeks to 2 months recovering, if the Lord blessed them through recovery. And their stories are very horrible, you know. And most of these folk that go through this, not most all, they have to go through this by themselves. Family is not allowed to visit. If you become a COVID-19 patient, you can't have any family visitors. The hospital is shut down where you can't get in. You can't come and visit. Hopefully, you've got a nice nurse, if they have time, that can use your cell phone and make a call on your behalf so your family can stay up to date with your situation, your circumstance. No visitors. No, I don't care if you're a teenager. You know, again, I want to go back to that brother that I saw with his daughter, or who could have been his daughter, it could have been his cousin, going into the restaurant. She gets the virus. He can't go and see her. He's not allowed. No one would be allowed. If my daughter, who's 18 years old, got the virus, couldn't go see her, wouldn't be allowed. That's how serious this is. And if we were to really, for a moment, kind of look at the whole historical process of us folk as African Americans, it would appear that, and we have reasons, you know, if you go back in history and look at the Tuskegee experiment, you know, we have been used, unfortunately, as guinea pigs and things. So folk who are historically aware, I can understand their apprehension on believing in certain viruses and things that come through. But most of us who are not historically tuned in are usually, unfortunately, caught up into being followers. If this group of people say, oh, this stuff ain't real, nothing's going to happen to you, and we usually jump on top of that bandwagon. If this group of people over here say, hey, this is serious, this could take you out of here, most of the time we're going to understand the seriousness of that, and we're going to get our act together and do the necessary things we need to do. And it would appear to me, and I really thought about this, unfortunately. I said I would hate that it would have to get to a point where our young babies, our young children, immune systems are not strong enough to handle this. And because of our ignorance, because of our lack of understanding how dangerous this virus is, that they started getting sick, then we would possibly wake up. If we go back in history to when AIDS came on the scene, we didn't believe that either. We thought it was a gay disease. And then shortly after that, we understood it was a heterosexual disease. When syphilis and VD came through our neighborhoods, we didn't believe it. We didn't believe in safe sex. We just believed in doing what we want. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. And it started going through our neighborhoods at a higher rate than any other neighborhood. It would appear anything that's negative, that brings warnings and things that we ignore. And so here we are in 2020. I termed it the new vision. And here's a vision for you. That if you can't see how important your health is, if you can't use your 2020 and do your own research and see how dangerous this virus is, there's a good possibility you won't live to see the end of 2020. You won't get to see 2021. That's how serious this is. If you get a chance, I want you to tune in tomorrow, or you'll be getting a copy of the podcast tomorrow. I'm going to have a doctor on with me. We're going to be talking about this, talking about how can we get African Americans to understand how serious this is, talking to our people saying, hey, if you remember the Spike Lee movie, School Days, at the end of the movie, Lawrence Fishburne comes out, if I'm not mistaken, and he rings the bell. And while he's ringing the bell, he's saying, wake up, wake up. Here's a time, brothers and sisters, where we really need to wake up because our life depends on it. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.